We started a message this morning that's going to take me three sermons to get through it. Tonight is the second one. We've started a message this morning on the foe of the family of faith. The foe of the family of faith. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. The Word of God tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want you to underline the words, your adversary. That word adversary means your foe, your enemy. And I want to preach to you on that subject, continue with the sermon I started this morning. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you tonight. I pray that you help me to preach with clarity and understanding. Help us to understand that the devil is after us. He wants us, but Lord, so do you. And it's up to us who we allow to get us. And I pray that you help us to see your lovely face tonight. And help me to expose this arch enemy of the family of faith in such a way that everybody understands what's been said. And may you expose him through me. Take full control of this service. We give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel pretty good tonight, folks. I'll be honest with you. Amen. You know, we've considered the foundation and formation of the family of faith. Now we turn our attention to the foe of the family of faith. We began this morning. The devil has many titles in the pages of Scripture, of which one is here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. He's given the title of your adversary. And the Word of God tells us that he's as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And like I told you this morning, that word devour means to swallow up. It means to gulp entirely. And may I say to you again tonight that the devil does not want to take a bite out of you. He wants to swallow you whole. He wants to make you disappear. And make no mistakes about it, the devil is the foe. He is the arch enemy of the family of faith. He doesn't want you to build a family of faith, so he attacks it as much as he possibly can. He's after you. And he's after every individual in your home. He wants your soul, security, separation, and service. He doesn't want you to build a family of faith, and he'll do anything he can to keep you from doing so. Therefore, in this sermon, we're going to be continuing to consider some tools that he uses to break down and destroy your home. And one of the secrets of this battle is knowing who the enemy is and knowing how he attacks you, what he wants, and how he gets it. So I'm in the middle of bringing some things out of what I've entitled Satan's Toolbox. And as you see this toolbox up here, I trust you'll never forget this picture that I'm trying to paint in your mind. That the devil has a toolbox he's using on you and your family. And he's got things in it, and I just so happen to have it here tonight. And we're just pulling things out and just showing you, here it is, folks. Here's what he's using, because this is his toolbox. And this morning we brought out two things. The first thing we brought out was deceit. He uses the tool of deceit. He'll try to deceive you and lie to you about God and God's word and God's character. He'll try to lie to you about sin and sin's consequences. And the way he gets that is we pulled out the second one, and the second tool was the tool of disease. He'll try to get your mind to be perverted. He'll try to twist your thinking. And two of the main ways he does that is through the eye gate and through the ear gate. There's no doubt about it. Let me say this to you. You show me somebody who's not doing what they should do for God. You show me somebody who's doing things with their hands they should never do. You show me somebody who's going places with their feet they should never go. You show me somebody who's thinking things they should never think or saying things they should never say. I already know their problem. I guarantee you their eye gate or their ear gate is off. I guarantee it. I guarantee you show me somebody who says it's my way or the highway. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. God himself's not going to tell me what to do. I guarantee either your music's off or your television and computer is off. Amen. I guarantee it. Because he uses disease to pervert your mind so he can use the deceit to deceive you about sin and about God. But tonight we bring out another tool. And this tool is such a major tool he uses. And is the tool of distraction. The word distraction means anything that draws your mind away in another direction. It means to confuse or bewilder. There's no doubt that one of the major tools the devil uses to attack your family is that he uses the tool of distraction. He'll try everything he can to draw your attention away from God's will for your life. He really will. By the way, how does he get in your family? You listening? How does he get in your family? He gets in your family by attacking the individuals in your family. Which means, parents, he's going to attack you, because if he can get you, he's got the family. But if he doesn't get you, teenager, he's coming after you because he hates you and he hates your family. And since maybe he can't get in by your parents, he's going to try to get in by you. Children, if you're in here tonight, if he doesn't get your parents, maybe he doesn't get your teenage brother and sister, he'll attack you. Because the way he gets in your family is by one individual. So I want you to apply this to yourself. Is he trying to use the tool of distraction? Now, what do I mean by this? Let me give you three things. Now, there's so many things that he uses to distract. Well, let me give you three major things tonight that he tries to use to distract you from God and God's will. Are you ready? Number one, under this, he uses the past to distract you. There are those tonight who just cannot get past something that happened some time ago. Now, whether it's something they did or something somebody did to them, this is a major tool that the devil uses. For instance, I call it two things. If it's something that you did that you've had forgiveness over, I call that harboring guilt. But if it's something somebody else did, I call that harboring a grudge. So let me separate these two just a moment. We're talking about the tool tonight of distraction. He's trying to distract your mind. He's trying to get you to turn away from God and focus on that. He's trying to get you, instead of doing what God wants you to do and going where God wants you to go, he's saying, woohoo, look at this over here. He's trying to turn your attention to something else. And one thing he uses to turn your mind from God is he uses the past. And let me deal with what you did in your past. Now, I'm not talking about get up and give a personal testimony. By the way, you should never do that unless it's going to help somebody else in privacy. But what I'm saying to you is this. 1 John 1:9, I'm talking to somebody tonight who is a born-again child of God. Now, if you're not saved, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. It's not the devil using your past, it's God. Because your past is condemning you and sending you to hell, and the sweet Holy Spirit is throwing it up to you because he's trying to convict you and say, that's why I died, and I can forgive you of all of that. Amen. But if you are saved tonight, you've been born again, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, there's no doubt that every one of us have things in our past we wish to God we could go back and change. Can somebody say amen right there? And what I'm saying to you is that the devil will try to take your past sin and he'll try to say, you're no good for God. Look what you did. Look what you did. Look what you did. But I'm telling you, 1 John 1:9 is still in the Word of God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isaiah 38:17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. The Bible says in Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And what I'm saying to you is the east never meets the west. I don't care where you're standing, they're still east and west. They never meet each other. And your sin, if you're saved, you'll never meet it again. It's been forgiven. It's been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he will never bring it back up again. Therefore, when you're going down through life and all of a sudden that past sin comes in your mind, wait a minute, let's expose him a minute. That's not God. That's the enemy. That's the wicked one. That's the foe, because he's trying to distract you from going on for God. Thank God your sins have been forgiven tonight. He uses your past sin. He tries to get you to harbor guilt. But secondly, he uses the past over something that maybe somebody else did to you. And I call this harboring a grudge. The Bible says in Leviticus 19:18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. You can't refute that. James 5:9 says, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." Let me ask you a question. Is there somebody in this life you will not forgive? Is there somebody in this life that you say you don't understand what they did, and I will not forgive them? If I'm talking to somebody who thinks that way, the devil already has a foothold in your home. You say, "Jody, you don't understand. You don't understand what they did." You're right, I don't understand. But I do understand what you and I did. And I understand that you and I sent Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. And because of our wicked, ungodly sin, He had to die. And the Bible tells us, don't turn to it for time's sake, but in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verses 30 through 32, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Why should you forgive somebody who's wronged you? By the way, does that make it right what they've done? No, it doesn't make it right. Does that mean I'm saying this. Are there people who do other people wrong? Yes, there are people who do other people wrong. And that's ungodly, and it's wicked, and it shouldn't be that way. But the devil will try to get something in your heart in such a way that when somebody does something wrong against you, and all of a sudden you're trying to do something for God, but I mean your prayer's not getting through. Could it be because the Bible says if you come to the altar and there remember that you have aught against your brother, leave your gift at the altar and first go be reconciled to your brother and then come back and offer your gift? You say, "Why should I give them the time of day? Why should I forgive them? Why should I even give them a time of day after what they've done for me?" Because God, in the person of Jesus Christ, when you came to Him and you were unworthy and you came to Him, He had every right to look at you and say, "I will not forgive you." He had every right to do that. He had every right to say, "Look what you did to my son. Look what you did. Look what you did." But when you came to Him in humble dependence, God the Father opened His hands. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He opened His arms and He said, "Come to me. I will not cast anybody out who comes to me in the name of my blessed Son, Jesus Christ." Why should you forgive them? Because He forgave you. That's why you should forgive them. I'm not saying it's easy to forgive. It's hard to forgive. But we should forgive because He's forgiven us. He uses the tool of distraction. The first thing He'll use to distract you is the past. If He can't get you there, He'll use the present. There's no doubt about it. There are times when your enemy will use something going on right now to distract you from building a family of faith. Whether it be health, finances, job, a marriage, children, problems, you name it. The devil, if he can't get you to live in the past, he'll try to fast forward to something going on in your life right now that you didn't choose for yourself. And he'll try to get you to focus on it. "Look at that." Now you know what I'm talking about, don't you? What am I saying? I'm saying that he wants to distract your mind. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, you don't need to turn to it. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says this: "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Amen. Philippians 4:4, the Apostle Paul is sitting in a prison. The church is in a problem because these two ladies are bickering with one another. The church is in turmoil. There's a problem in the local church, and Paul is sitting in a Roman jail cell. And yet he penned the words, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." Your circumstances may not be good, but God's still good, folks. He hasn't changed. And people come and go, people change, and people make mistakes, but God never changes, God never makes mistakes. Don't blame Him, run to Him, and say, "Thank you in my changing circumstances that you are unchanging." He uses the present. This is all under the tool of distraction. He'll use the past. He'll use the present. If he can't get you there, he'll use the future. The enemy uses the future, the unknown, to war against your family of faith. You ever worried? Have any worry warts here tonight? You ever worried about terrorism? Or you ever doubted or feared something? You ever worried about getting a terminal illness? Or you know what I call this? I call it the what if syndrome. What if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? Matthew 6:25 says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That's what Jesus said. Now, listen, that's easy to hear that, hard to do it. Amen? He's saying, don't take any thought for you. You know what he's saying? He's saying, don't worry about anything. You know, worry is a sin against God. And I'm guilty. So are you. And what I'm saying is this. You know what worry really is? It's lack of faith. That's all it is. Just put it like it is, folks. It's lack of faith. Because God is already in the future. Think about that. He's already there. He's the only all-knowing one. The devil's not all-knowing, folks. He doesn't know what's going to happen in your life either, unless God lets him in on it. But God knows all about it. And he'll try to whisper to you, what if this happens? What if that takes place? What if you get this? God's flooding my heart. I'll be honest with you. God's flooding my heart with things. I mean, by the time this pastorate's over, and it may be very soon, I don't know. By the time by the time I'm done pastoring this church, you're going to think I'm crazy. You're going to think I'm, some of you already think I'm crazy. You hadn't seen anything yet. But you know how the devil combats that? You never see that. You're going to get some kind of disease and you're going to be 6 feet under in 6 months. I've had thoughts like that go through my mind. Anybody understand what I'm talking about out there, folks? That's the evil one. That's the foe. Now, if somebody's sitting there saying, boy, I hope the foe's right in this situation, then you got mental problems, okay? What am I saying? I'm saying this is a real battle we're fighting. And he's after you. He's going to try to distract you. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know what I've noticed when I've had a worry? You know what I've noticed? I haven't done this enough. But I've noticed when I have a worry, when I take it to God, it leaves me. It really does. Now, it may hit me again when I get back in the house. But you take it back to God. You leave it there. And God says, can you trust me, Jody? He's so tender with us, isn't he? What would you do if he said, What is wrong with you? Like some of you all do with your kids. Like I've done with mine before. What am I saying? I'm saying the devil is attacking you. He uses the tool of deceit. He uses the tool of disease. He uses the tool of distraction. Is he using that on you? Let me pull out another one. If we reached into his toolbox and pulled this out, we would find number four, we'd find the tool of discouragement. No doubt about it. You know all discouragements of the devil? Every bit of it. You know, an event from church history is reported concerning the reformer by the name of Martin Luther. For days he'd been in the valley of discouragement. The Pope was trying to kill him and some of his friends had shunned him. And something happened. He noticed his godly wife coming down coming downstairs, and she was dressed in black as if she was going to mourn for somebody. Now think about this. And he looked at her and he said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to a funeral. He said, who died? And she looked him right in the face and said, God did. It made him mad. After all, the Pope was trying to kill him. His friends shunned him, and now he's dealing with blasphemy in his own home. And he said, woman, who told you such a thing? And looking him straight in the eyes, only a wife can do to her husband, she said, you did, Martin. Because the way you've been acting the past few weeks, I was sure you had somehow found out that God was dead. When he heard that, he dropped to his knees, and he begged God and his wife to forgive him. Oh, that cuts me.
How many times I let such a petty thing take the joy of Jesus Christ out of my heart? You discouraged tonight? By the way, he'll use things to try to discourage you. He'll try to get you down and out. Try to get you in a self-pity party. Woe is me. Nobody knows what I'm going through. And good night, if anybody was under this load, they'd crumble too. See, that's the problem. When you start comparing your load with other people, the answer is when you compare that load to Jesus Christ. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. That word dismayed, he said, don't be discouraged. He's saying, why should you not be discouraged? Because he says, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee. Don't fear. Don't be discouraged. Joshua 1:9, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen. He uses the tool of discouragement. No doubt in a crowd this size, there's many discouraged people. And I'm not saying that there's no trouble in your life. I'm not saying that, because trouble hits all of us. But what the devil does, he thrives on it. And he tries to take that trouble that hits your life and he tries to discourage you with it. He tries to steal your joy from you. He tries to take the peace that only God can give. And at that moment, so many of us are so guilty, spiritually speaking, of just sitting in a corner and spiritually sucking our thumb and feeling sorry for ourselves like this. And the devil just sitting over there in the corner, just all this kind of stuff. When God's over here the whole time and said, wait a minute, I'm still God. I'm still bigger than that. I don't care what it is you're going through. God's bigger than that, folks. And he said, I'm still bigger than that. I haven't changed. You can still trust me. I've already told you to come to me. Why are you sitting over there sulking when you could come into my presence and end up singing? Because all the way through it, God is the answer to it all. He uses the tool of discouragement. You discouraged tonight? I'm not asking anybody to stand up and say, yeah, that's me, I'm discouraged. But I guarantee you, in a crowd this size, there are many discouraged people that the devil's using that discouragement to attack your family. Let's pull out something else. We reach into the toolbox and pull out something else, and it's the tool of discord. That means division, disunity. The word discord means disagreement or lack of harmony. And let me tell you what the devil's going to try to do in your home. He's going to try to make a husband and wife get out of harmony with so many things. Let me give you some things he tries to sow discord in your family about. First of all, he tries to sow it in discipline. If you are a family that the husband does all the discipline and the wife jumps on him for it, that's discord. If you're from a family that the wife does all the discipline and the husband sits over there and just kind of questions, what's she doing that for? That's discord. If you come from a family that the children play you, and every one of them will try it, every one of them, except my kids, they've never tried that. Now, it's amazing, Jalen, she's not even 2 years old, and she'll do something that she knows wrong, and she'll come up to me, and she'll just lay her head on my shoulder. And it works. I'm playing with you. It almost works, I'll guarantee you that. He'll try to get you divided in your discipline. He'll try to get you divided And this is going into my next point, but he'll try to get you divided in your doctrine. If he can get a husband and wife to believe differently, he's got you, folks. He's got you. He'll try to sow discord in your finances. By the way, if you know somebody who's dealing with finances, God willing, next Sunday morning, the whole message is on the dollar. It's all D's. You know me by now, don't you? And one of the tools that's in this toolbox is the dollar bill. We're going to preach on that next Sunday morning, God willing. Help me get the word out for that. Amen. That's a topic that so many people need help with. Help me get the word out. Our preacher's preaching on finances Sunday morning. Wouldn't it be great to see many of them walk the aisle and trust Christ as their Savior by dealing with money? Help me with that. But that's a major thing that he'll try to divide your household over is money. He'll try to sow discord in that. He'll try to sow discord in you by maybe the home that you're going to build or the new car you're wanting to get. Any way he can get you to disagree, he'll do it. You ever had a child in trouble? Going back to this previous illustration. And the child has already been told no by the mom or the dad, but the other parent doesn't know it yet. And the child knows that the other parent does not know it yet. So the child will attack the other parent. And I use the word attack because that's really what it is. You know, really, folks, you don't own your home. Your kids do. You understand that, right? What am I saying? Has your kid ever tried to sow discord in your family? Well, I know Daddy told me this, but Mama, what do you think? You think Daddy's right in that? If you ever say no, you have just lost your children. You've just lost them. You should be unified. And there should not a cannon be able to knock down your wall that you build between each other. He uses the tool of discord. And then finally tonight, you know a preacher never means that when he says finally, right? But finally tonight, we see that he uses the tool of doctrine. There's no doubt about this. Now, I told you that I've already mentioned it under discord, but I'm gonna go a little bit more into depth here. What does doctrine mean? What is doctrine? By the way, your children are learning this in the Cadets for Christ program. But what is doctrine? It's a big word that some people run from. They're scared of it. The word doctrine just means beliefs and teachings. That's all it means. What you believe and what you teach. Or what is to be believed and taught. And one thing that the devil will try to attack your home with is what you allow in your home by means of doctrine. In other words, he's trying to infiltrate false doctrine if he can. Let me show you how this works. Now, if you've been here by any length of time, do I claim that our church is the only church? You tell me. Do I claim that? No. Our church is not the only church. There are good Bible-believing churches in this area. There's no doubt about it. But what I'm saying to you, there are other churches who have false doctrine. Right? Your children may befriend somebody in school who attends one of these other churches that has false doctrine. And your child may come home from school and say, Susie has asked me to spend the night with her on Saturday and go to church with her on Sunday. And everybody's going, Daddy. Can you let me go? I mean, everybody's doing it. And you already know, by the way, you should never send your kid to a church that you do not know what they teach. Because the fact of the matter is, if you send them one time, they may hear what the devil's going to use to attack their mind and get that into your home. And if he can get that false doctrine in your home by your kids, watch out. Let me ask you something, husband and wife. Do you believe the same? By the way, you say, what should I believe? Just listen to me and I'll tell you what you should believe, okay? But by the way, that's dangerous to say that. I'm being funny with you. You get your beliefs and teachings from this book is where you get it. And you always listen to me. You're not going to hurt my feelings if you take my message home and critique it. Does the Bible really say that? By the way, you shouldn't have that language around your kids. That should be in private between you and your wife. I welcome you to put me up against the magnifying glass of the Word of God.
And if I try to teach you something that is anti-biblical, come get in my face. But I trust I'll never see you. Because if it's something that's a preference, I will tell you this is a preference. You understand what I'm saying? But if it's something that's Bible doctrine, you better know what you're talking about when you come see me. That's not a proud statement. I'm simply trying to say to you, I'm going to give you the Bible at this church, folks. Our Sunday school teachers are going to pump you full of the Word of God. Our Cadets for Christ program is going to pump your kids full of the Word of God. We're giving them sound doctrine. And watch out if all of a sudden your marriage or your mate or your children comes and starts talking, well, I heard this in school. This makes more sense to me. You know what some parents would do? Honestly, they'd be afraid that they'd lose their kids, so they'll go find a church that teaches that because they don't want to lose their kids. Do you see the twisted mindset in that? Some people would do that. What am I saying? I'm saying don't let the devil use false doctrine to destroy your home. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There are devilish doctrines out there. And you say, how do I know what they are? Put everything up against the Word of God, folks. Everything. If somebody says, well, it's impossible that Jesus was born of a virgin, that person is lost, and they're going to split hell wide open unless they trust the Lord as their Savior. Now, how do I know that? Because they are attacking Scripture at that time. And God is not a liar. Somebody says hell's not a real doctrine. You say, listen to me. Hell is a real doctrine, not because I like it, but because God says it. Same thing with heaven. Same thing with Jesus being the only way to heaven. There was somebody recent, I can't remember who it was, who said, oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm not so narrow-minded to say that Jesus is the only way. You know how narrow-minded I am? Right there is how narrow-minded I am. If it's in this book, believe it. If it's not, don't. You ever heard this statement? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You ever heard that? Hogwash. God said it, that settles it, whether you and I believe it or not, folks. God's not going to look at us and say, now I said this, now if you believe it, I'll make it come true in your life. If you don't, that's okay, sweetie. God doesn't do that. By the way, God is a God of His Word. You say, Jody, what do you mean? I'm saying when God tells you exactly what's going to happen and what's going to happen if you don't obey Him and what's going to happen if you do obey Him, that's true character right there, folks. And if you don't obey Him and it comes to pass, here's how the devil works. This goes back to this morning. God told you not to do it, and He said if you do it, this is going to happen. But when you do it and that happens, they say, what's God doing to me? I can't believe God's doing this. That's the twisted mindset that we live in. When God said, wait a minute, I told you if you did that, that would happen. The devil makes you do it. By the way, he doesn't make you do it. That's a lie he tries to get you to swallow too. The devil made me do it. Hogwash. You're alive, aren't you? Well, I did that, but the devil was he was walking through my body. I mean, here it is. The devil did that. Hogwash. The devil may have influenced you, and you may have given into that, but you made that decision. Simple, simple thoughts, right? It's simple. But why make it difficult when God makes it simple? And the simple thought is this, there's a toolbox. And the devil's using every one of these on your family. We've pulled out deceit. We've pulled out disease. We've pulled out distraction. He'll try to use the past to distract you, the present, the future. We've pulled out discord. Folks, we've pulled out discouragement. We've pulled out doctrine. And I want to ask you a question. Who's winning the battle in your life? And let me say this to you. I'm doing good on time. Please don't start closing your Bibles and making all kinds of noise. Just sit nice and quiet there just a moment. There is a mistaken mindset going around by what I call rebels. People who are rebelling against God. And here's their twisted mind.
Here's their twisted mind. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody is going to tell me how to live my life. If I want to listen to that, I'll listen to it. If I want to do that, I'll do it. But what they don't understand is that they are listening to somebody. They're listening to the foe. Do you understand something? You're not living to yourself. There's two who are after you, and they're both attacking you. They're speaking to you. Who are you going to believe? I'm burdened for our teenagers. It's one reason we're starting these Truth Teen Rallies. I want to help train the teenagers in this area how to reach the world and give their life to Jesus Christ. Teenager, listen to me, please. Don't give the devil your life, because he'll wreck it, ruin it, and throw it in the garbage can. Give God your life, because if you give him your life, he'll take it, he'll bless it, and he'll reproduce it and help feed the world with it. What's the devil using on you? Let's determine that by God helping us. And all this will come together next week, how it all fits together. So stay with us, okay? About how we can live in victory and not let these tools have victory in our life. Let's all pray together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take this thought and bless it in a mighty way. Help us, our Lord, to trust you. And help us, our Lord, to believe you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're playing through softly as soon as they get prepared here. But I wonder tonight, what is the devil using in your life? The devil's after you. He's after you. There's no doubt about that. The devil's after me. He's after your home. And he wants you. At the same time, the Lord is after you. And he wants you. How many tonight are glad that you're saved, you're born again, you know the Lord? There's no doubt in your mind about that. You've trusted Christ. Would you raise your hand in the air, please? You say, this is me, I've trusted Christ, thank you. You can put your hands right back down. If there's somebody here tonight, you do not know for sure that heaven's your home. You're just not sure about that. Well, maybe you know that heaven's not your home, and you don't want to live with the devil for all eternity in hell. But you want to live with God for all eternity in heaven. I want to challenge you when the invitation is extended that you come and that you let us take a Bible, a lady with a lady, a man with a man, and we'll share with you how you can know the Lord. May God help you with this. Have you tonight say, Jody, I'm a Christian. Now I'm just going to deal with these tools that I mentioned tonight here. But you say the tool of distraction. And you mentioned three things under that, the past, the present, the future. Let me deal with the past just a moment. Have you say, Jody, there's the tool of distraction and the past is what the devil's using in my mind and using in my life. It may be something you did, or it may be something somebody did to you. You might be harboring guilt, or you might be harboring a grudge. But you say, Jody, would you pray for me? The devil is attacking me with the past. There's no doubt about this, and I see this tonight. I see it. Would you be an honest Christian? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest Christian. Be honest. God bless you. You can put your hands back now. Have you, the devil's trying to use the present, something going on right now in your life. It's not our business what it is, but something going on right now. And you say, I believe the devil's using that to distract me. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air, please? May the Lord help you with this. It's a lot of you. What about the future? Have you be honest and say, Jody, I'm a worry wart. God knows I worry, 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 worry. It's a what-if syndrome, and I need God to help me with this. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Boy, that's a lot of hands. God bless you. What about discouragement tonight? Have you say, Jody, I'm going to be an honest person. I'm here tonight, but I came in discouraged. God knows that my heart is discouraged. May not be now. Maybe God's working on you on that. But you say, I came into this church tonight with a discouraged heart. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Yes.
If you raised your hand to anything, I want you to listen to me closely. Just a moment, we're going to extend an invitation. And I'm going to ask every one of you to leave your place and come. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I wouldn't put it off another day, because the Word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. May the Lord help you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, bless it and use it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If God is speaking to you, as Brother Gary sings, would you leave your place and come? As he sings, would you come, please? Come now. I wouldn't wait on anybody else. I'd come on. Light in the darkness
you see. There's light for a look at the Savior. And life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory. And
they're playing through. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. Some of you marriages, some of you husbands and wives, some of you are going to need to go home tonight and say, you know, there's been discord in our family. This is another tool that we brought out. And you need to stop it tonight. If it's about doctrine, if it's about finances, whatever it is, you need to talk it out. Communicate. Communicate. Be honest with each other. And by the way, if your spouse comes to you and says, I've been meaning to talk to you about this for a long time, and I feel like God wants me to do it now. Are you listening? Be a man. If you're a man, and say, thank you for coming to me. Now what is it? And if it's a man talking to the wife, be a godly lady and say, what is it? I want to be on the same page. See, the devil will try to attack you in such a way that when husbands and wives start to communicate with each other, he'll try to rear up the other one and say, what do you mean? What do you mean? You're saying I'm missing it? That's pride, folks. God wants us to be unified. Amen. Some of you need to have that conversation when you go home. The Lord's doing something great at this church. He really is. We praise him for it. May the Lord help us. Let's sing that last verse together, Brother Gary. Let's sing it, please.
His word shall not
fail you, he promised. Leave him and all will be well. Is dying
his
perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strange. Of his glory and grace. Amen. I need to give you some instructions at this time. We appreciate you being here. What a great Sunday night crowd. What a great crowd this morning too. Amen. And let's go after them. We have a special meeting tonight right after the service. I'm going to ask all the members, all the church members, if you're a church visitor, you're visiting the church and so on, you do not need to stay for this. You don't have to stay for this, in other words. But all the members, we want you to stay. We're going to have it's only going to take about 5 or 10 minutes. It has to do with one of our dear missionaries, Tori. And the preacher has some things he wants to say to the church and so on. I wish you'd pray for him. And so I'm going to give you 5 minutes from right now. So this will give the visitors an opportunity to take their visitor's card out and drop that visitor's card on the Welcome Center. We've got a special gift just for you, just for saying thank you for being here. This will give all of you all a chance to get your children to the right places. Your three-year-old all the way through sixth grade will be in the chapel. All the teenagers. Brother Bob wants to meet with you, a special meeting with you over in the gymnasium. Why don't the teenagers go ahead and go, and Brother Bob? And at this time, we're going to go ahead and dismiss the church service. But in 5 minutes, if you're staying for this meeting, I'm asking members to do so. If you're staying for this meeting, I want you to come right back in here. 5 minutes, and we'll get you out of here very, very soon. Okay? Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Our Father, we love you. Bless now in a special way in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. We'll start this meeting in 5 minutes.